Welcome back. Well, branded consumer goods and beverages group Clover released its interim results today, reporting a 4% rise in revenue and a 5% increase in headline earnings per share, while cost of sales, along with distribution costs, rose as sugar taxes and a sharp increase in the fuel price weighed. Last month, a consortium of companies made an offer to buy the business for 4.8 billion rand, and reports suggest that the management plans to back the deal despite some backlash. Company CEO Johan Forster joins us in studio now for greater perspective on the numbers and an update on where that deal actually stands. Johan, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So you've managed to increase revenue up 4%. It's filtered through to your bottom line with headline earnings per share coming in 5% higher. What are you putting your performance down to within a low growth and a constrained consumer spend environment?
Thank you. Yeah, so interestingly enough, if you exclude or you make the adjustment for IFRS 15, we've actually grown sales from products by 8.3%, 5% in volume and 3.1% in price. So we have taken a lower price increase than inflation. That's one of the main reasons why we've benefited from the extra growth. But of course, volume growth in our business, which is very hungry for volumes, is an important driver. Mm-hmm. So 8% in total, if you take like for like, 5% volume growth. And in more than 60% of the categories that we operate in, we have increased the market shares. So to me, it shows that there's a trust in the brand and the sub-brands of Clover. When people spend that buck, they want quality, they want value. And some of the products are very expensive, like Tropica and Crush. You know, they demand huge price premiums. So what we're seeing is people want surety in what they buy. They can only buy once, and they want to know that that's so. It's a great balanced performance between volume and shareholders' value that we've created.
Let's take a look at this consumer-centric approach that you're emphasizing here, because what it does is see you plowing savings back into selected selling prices. So talk us through the extent of the pass-through we're looking at on that end, and just how selective you're forced to be.
We have been onto this now for more than 3 years, that we want to take the internal savings, use that as what we call fuel, to bring the prices down and to spend more on marketing and sales. Mm-hmm. So one element that although we've only increased the prices with 3%, we have spent a lot more money on sales, our Masakani project, where we deliver more and more. We're now at 45,000 delivery points, and a lot more on marketing. And thirdly, a lot more in R&D, where we new recipes for our products, which makes it more acceptable to our consumers. For example, in juices, there must be more than 300 packers of juices in the country. We've got 53% with one brand, Crush. So it is a very much, as you say, consumer-centric approach. Talk to them, tell them what the benefits are, add value, different pack sizes, be available every day. So it's like a real package.
And that aggressive marketing strategy you talk about comes at a price, though. In fact, it's increasing, yes, sales volumes on the one hand, but it's also driving your selling prices higher on the other. So how aggressive are you being here? Because, you know, one would assume no matter how aggressive or how much marketing you actually do to consumers, they can't spend what they don't have at the end of the day, and it comes down to pricing at the end.
If you look at price premiums, all of our products demand price premiums. There's not one that we don't have a price premium on. So this first and all. So if you consume Clover or Clover's brands,
yeah,
it'll come at the cost. But for that, we need to communicate, why are you paying more? What do you do? Second thing is, with our Masakani project, we deliver deeper and deeper into previously disadvantaged areas like townships. They value that delivery there. They're not that price sensitive because it's available, they get it. To go and take a taxi to go and buy things, they all add value. Mm-hmm. So it's different ways of how you perceive or how you add what we say value add to the product. But to only have a 3.1% price increase across the range, I think is very impressive to curtail the costs. And we've taken out hundreds of millions of costs out of the business. And we call it the waterfall principle. As long as you invest and you get a return, and you invest and you get a return, we will keep on investing until we run out of and it slows down. And that has been our philosophy the last 3 years.
And in this instance, it's paying off in terms of sales volumes growing 5.6%. To what extent is that translating into market share? Because you alluded to that right at the top, the fact that you are managing to grow market share in the current environment.
For example, on yogurt, we've grown our yogurt market share from 10 to 16%. our target was 10% in 5 years. We've reached 16% in 3 years. Tropica, we've now got 83% market share. Crush, 53% market share. Cheeses, over 50%. Feta, 35%. So I can carry on. So if you look at more than 60% of the categories that we've operated in, we've increased market share and volumes. In an economy like this, you need to say to the consumer why they are paying that, what's happening, your milk lasts longer, your quality is better. There must be perceived value, or not only perceived value, real value for the consumer.
Johan, it's all of that at the end of the day that has put you as a target, a takeover target. You're relying on the Milko transaction going through. How much of your future dependent on that transaction?
Me personally or the companies?
The company.
So first of all, I think that, you know, if you look back at what Cyril Ramaphosa asked for foreign direct investment, this transaction should be a model for foreign direct investment. Here you've got a consortium that wants to use a local South African company as a platform to grow business into the rest of Africa. They don't want to cut jobs, they want to increase jobs. They want to use our resources, our milk, our juices, the concentrates, our farmers, to produce more because we're efficient farmers so that they can export more. So it will lead to extra jobs, extra income for the farmers, from a resources industry or a country, we want to become somewhere where we can use the secondary industry more. So we're very excited. We think they've already identified huge plans for increased investment in capital. They don't want any dividends. They want everything to be reinvested in the business. So this is the type of foreign direct investment that you need.
Do you see it going through? Yes or no?
I try not to get involved with the shareholders' issues.
Okay, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Johan, for joining us in studio this evening. Johan Forster is CEO of Clover.